I want to talk to you now some more about the axioms. It's a remarkable thing that life itself can be codified in terms of axioms. It has not been done before. The first time it was attempted is when I wrote up the Logics and Axioms way back there a couple of years ago. And that's more than that. That's about 3 years ago. And I wrote these things up simply to give an alignment to thought itself. And as a matter of fact, copies of these axioms were sent over to Europe. And just a year ago, I found them in Vienna, fully translated into German, which is quite remarkable. Over there, they were terribly impressed simply because it had not been done. Nobody had codified life to this degree, and nobody had codified psychotherapy. And they were not impressed as to whether they were right or wrong. It's just that nobody had done it before. Well, we're not quite doing the same thing here. Those axioms were quite complicated, and the axioms which we have here in the summary of Scientology in the Auditor's Handbook are nowhere near as lengthy, but they pack a great deal more punch. Now, let's take up something very, very interesting. Let's take up a proof of ultimate truth. If we have reached an ultimate truth, then we have reached an ultimate solution. And who would ever suspect, really, that an ultimate truth or an ultimate solution could be subjected to mechanical proof? Who would dream this? Well, certainly I never would have dreamed it, and yet we have done just that. I discovered the phenomenon of a perfect duplicate. Now, you'd better know what a perfect duplicate is. We get that in Axiom 20. Bringing the static to create a perfect duplicate causes the vanishment of any existence or part thereof. You understand that, that if you can get a life form to make a perfect duplicate of anything, it will vanish. Now, that's quite remarkable. We have a perfect duplicate, very, very clearly defined. It is an additional, now get that additional, it's an additional creation of the object, its energy and space, in its own space, its own time, using its own energy. And we could append to that the considerations which go along with it, because it couldn't be anything but considerations. Now, this violates the condition that two objects must not occupy the same space and causes the vanishment of the object. The second that you violate this rule which holds universes together, which is that two objects must not occupy the same space, and we make two objects occupy exactly the same space, why, we get a vanishment. Now, this is quite remarkable. But if you will ask somebody to simply make a perfect duplicate of something, well understanding exactly what a perfect duplicate is, if you ask him to make a perfect duplicate, for instance, of a vase just exactly where it sits, it will start to fade out on him. And he can do that to almost anything. Now, why doesn't it fade for somebody else? Why doesn't this perfect duplicate fade for somebody else? Well, it's quite remarkable. Do you know that everything in this universe is displaced or misplaced? Now, we say a lie, we talk about a lie, we really don't mean that simply changing the position of something is a lie. We have to alter the consideration regarding it to make a lie. Now, it isn't really a lie that everything is so scrambled in this universe, but believe me, it's scrambled. Just in the last moment or two, several cosmic rays went through your body. Now, those were all particles. They emanated from someplace else, and they came down where you are. Maybe they've been en route for 100 million years, who knows? And there they are. Now, to get one of those cosmic rays to vanish, it would be necessary to pick its point of creation. And we would have to find its point of creation, and we'd have to make a duplicate of the ray at the moment of its creation. And then we would have to make a duplicate of having done so. And instantly, that cosmic ray would vanish. There is no doubt about this whatsoever. There is how you make a perfect duplicate.